is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, broadcasting to you from L.A., and welcome to all of you in the USA and the rest of the world. I want to talk about a prophetic, Bible prophecy prophetic analysis of current events and integrate that with talking about the supernatural power of God. Now, when I say the supernatural power of God, I'm not talking about lunatic time. I'm not talking about three-ring circus time. And I'm not talking about, you know, diversions to the power of the Holy Spirit. But the power of the Holy Spirit from Genesis to Revelation has shaped human history in so many, many ways. I mean, here's just a little glimpse of how it's shaped human history in so many ways. And people don't realize it. So, in the Old Testament, there's the account of King David coming down. He's kind of young at this point in his life. And he's young, and in the eyes of King Saul and his brothers, he's, you know, quote, young and foolish, green around the ears, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, Goliath the giant, who is a descendant of the Nephilim, so he would be a Rephaim. He has fallen angel DNA in him as well as human DNA. Now, in case, you know, there's always these people who like have a knee-jerk reaction to a serious discussion of the Nephilim and the fallen angels mating with human women. But the point is that this is not some weird sideshow biblical trip. The Bible talks a great deal about that thing, okay? The Bible talks a great deal about it, so it's not far-fetched if you read the Bible. The entire land of Canaan, which was the promised land, it was Israel, but it was called Canaan when it was occupied by the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, and all these pagan tribes. When they occupied the land of Canaan, they it really was the promised land. It was Israel. But when they occupied it, they called it Canaan, and they worshipped the Canaanite or the pagan gods. Now, most of the people in that land of Canaan, genetically, were either Nephilim or Rephaim. And a huge percentage of the people that lived in Canaan were the offspring of the fallen angels mating with human women and producing the Rephaim and the Nephilim. And it's all over the place when you read about it in the Old Testament. I mean, there's so many these either obvious statements about it, or you'd have to be blind, deaf, and dumb to miss what God is saying, okay? So we're going to the account of David, who's in this battle with Goliath the giant. And remember, Goliath the giant is has part fallen angel DNA. That's why he's one of these super giants. One of the characteristics of these super giants of old, and when the skeletons of Nephilim or Rephaim have been discovered, one of the consistent things that you see is accounts or reports of the Nephilim being giants. So God tells Joshua and Caleb to spy out the land of Canaan, the promised land. And there's the whole issue of the giants in the land. And the unbelieving spies were not willing to check out the land because they saw the giants and they freaked out and they were terrified. And Joshua and Caleb went into the land of Canaan. And the perception of Joshua and Caleb was one of a biblical worldview. They looked at the land of Canaan through the eyes of God's word. And so when they came back, they gave to God what was called a good report. And they told God that when they saw these so-called giants, the giants appeared to them as little tiny grasshoppers. And when the giants looked at Joshua and Caleb and the soldiers with them, the giants perceived Joshua and Caleb to be like giants, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. So a similar thing occurs in the account of King David when he is a shepherd boy. And so he goes down to the battlefield, okay, because at this battlefield, there's Goliath the giant. Behind Goliath the giant, there's the massive Philistine army. And then in front of Goliath is the armies of Israel and King Saul, etc. Okay, so Goliath is part of the military strategy of the Philistines to terrify the children of Israel. Now, notice where the king of Israel is. He's kind of like hiding off to the side with his super expensive, fancy armor. And notice who else is with him, of all people, King Saul. It's the brothers of David who are kind of like hiding from Goliath. Now, notice, as we talked about the other day, that most Christians don't realize this, and most pastors don't teach on it. But the first sin in the book of Revelation, there's a whole list of sins that are listed where God says that if you do these sins, your name will be taken out of the book of life and you will not be able to get into heaven. That's pretty serious. But notice that the first sin is not a sin that anybody recognizes as a sin. And churches never preach on it, and Christians never repent on this sin. And the sin is the sin of being a coward. So the very first sin is the sin of cowardice. It's above all the other sins. The sin of cowardice, being a coward, is considered by God in this passage of Scripture the most important sin. Now, think about that in light of today. Already arrived at the same conclusion that I have. Okay, so David, King Saul sees that David is there. The first thing David's brothers do is mock him and belittle him and try to cut him down. And that's a dynamic I want to talk about very briefly. When you're endeavoring to walk with God, when you're endeavoring to walk in the supernatural power of God, what will happen? You will encounter incredible warfare in the spiritual world or the invisible realm of all kinds. And disruptions, jealousy, people attacking you, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, when David walked by his brothers accused David of only wanting to go down to the battlefield to be a big shot. You know, they didn't really think he was going to like try to take on Goliath. So they accused David of kind of being like them, an opportunist, you know, just trying to get ahead, but really a coward. So David ignored them. And then King Saul heard it and said, well, why not? I'll send David out, okay, to fight against Goliath. And King Saul offered David his incredible exoskeleton-style armor. I mean, the best military armor you could get back then. But David rejected it because he wanted to be wearing the armor of God, which was spiritual armor. David didn't just go against Goliath with nothing. David went against Goliath wearing his spiritual armor and using a physical spiritual weapon, which is a slingshot. And he prepared the slingshot with just one smooth stone. So David gets out there, and Goliath, the giant, mocks David before all the armies of Israel and the armies of the Philistines. And then, thundering out of David's inner man, which is the belly area, but I didn't want to use the word belly because it comes off as degrading when I'm talking about something powerful and sacred like this. So David thunders out of his inner man, which would have been his chest, his stomach area, the diaphragm, because it acts like a bass speaker. And he says to Goliath, "How dare you defy the armies of the living God?" And all the Philistine armies and all the armies of Israel could hear that. And David, challenged Goliath in front of everybody. And Goliath threatened David. And then David swung his slingshot, and with one smooth shot, one single stone, it lands in Goliath's forehead. And Goliath collapses, I guess, unconscious or whatever, on the ground in front of all the armies. Then, because the armies were there looking on, David cuts his head off, Goliath's head off, and shows it to the Philistines. That was not done as a barbaric act of cruelty. It was done as a message to the Philippine army that, look, better run for your lives. Because David knew that the Philippine army, their strategy was all about using Goliath the giant as their front man. So when the Philistine army saw the bloody head of Goliath being held up high and David having a sword in his hand, that wasn't done for some barbaric, sadistic, cruel act. That was done as like a form of psychological warfare where you're showing the enemy it's over. It's over. How was David able to do that? David wasn't relying on his own strength and ability. The secret of David, he was relying supernaturally on God's strength and God's supernatural ability. So the Philistine armies fled, and the children of Israel had a huge victory. But again, the key was David was using spiritual armor, okay? He was using a physical weapon, but also a spiritual weapon, and his ultimate power didn't come from himself. He was placing his faith for victory in the Lord. Now, that's critical. If Christians did that in America and other nations right now, there's so many crisis events that are threatening our nations and our world. They even have, scientists even have an expression called a human extinction level event. I talk about it in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. A human extinction level event. That's an event that's so cataclysmic, so global, so planetary in scale that it could destroy mankind and planet Earth. And those are called human extinction level events. So, people, specifically Christians, who claim to be Christians, any person who calls themselves a Christian, or a group of Christians, they possess so much more spiritual power, spiritual wisdom, spiritual gifts than they could possibly imagine. God has equipped them with such a vast amount of spiritual power, spiritual gifts, spiritual ability that work and function in both the natural world and the physical world. So let's look at the crisis events hitting America and the rest of the world right now. Many of them are related to the pandemic and the after effects of that. There's geopolitical situations, military situations going on right now. There's an entire spectrum of crisis events happening. And what God is calling his people to do is not kind of like go off to the side and hide. That's what David's brothers were doing. And then out of their jealousy, they were mocking David. David's brothers and King Saul were like hiding off to the side. They were hiding from the Goliath, the fallen angel, human woman DNA giant. And that's what a lot of Christians do today. They're hiding. That's why we are all tempted to become dismayed when we don't see the level and acceleration of changes that we want. Because God's people are not being obedient to God and doing what God is telling them to do. So, this key truth that God is trying to impart in us throughout the entire Bible, but just the story of David, Joshua, and Caleb reinforces this story, this historical truth, this spiritual truth. The secret to David's victory was not his own human strength, his own human wisdom. It was his faith and reliance on the power and wisdom of God. Now, the minute you start to do that in your life, the minute I start to do it, the minute individual Christians in America start to do that in our lives, this is why it's critical that you and I understand that knowledge is power and to do everything we can to develop a biblical worldview. It's critical that we understand that. So we have all these crisis events going on. And the temptation for Christians is to hide from the Goliaths. But God is calling us to be like David's and to engage Goliath using spiritual weapons and spiritual knowledge. Now, the key, though, to being victorious, it's not enough to just, you know, say you want to be committed, say you want to make a change in this world. That's not enough. Good intentions are not enough. It's not enough to say you want to do this or that for the Lord. Again, good intentions are not enough. What pleases the Lord, what you have to do is not just engage in spiritual warfare, but develop the spiritual ability to wage spiritual warfare at such a ratio that you are consistently victorious. You're consistently an overcomer. This is critical because there's a lot of people who are Christians and saved who, you know, they think they're engaged in spiritual warfare. They think they're moving in the power of God, but in reality, they're moving in their own human strength and finite mind. And that will not give us the victory that we need. In order to get the victory that we need, especially right now in America, is that we have to learn how to walk supernaturally and think supernaturally. It's critical. that we walk supernaturally, and that we think supernaturally. When, by faith, we do these two things, all of a sudden, we will notice that we will begin to live our lives with, it's like all of a sudden our brains, our intelligence has become augmented or enhanced, if you want to use those words. In my new book, Power from On High, which you can pre-order now at paulmcguire.us, I talk a lot about, you know, all the technological developments designed to enhance the human brain and human intelligence, like the neural link that Elon Musk has been talking about and others. So you have all these technological developments promising the enhancement of the human brain and making yourself more intelligent, etc. But we can't forget that for thousands and thousands of years before we had computer technology, if you read the Bible carefully, you'll see account after account of all these men in the Bible who were filled with the supernatural power of God. And because they were filled with the supernatural power of God, they were able to function as super soldiers. And a super soldier, as you know, is what our military and other militaries from advanced nations around the world, they use things like genetic engineering, microchip implant type technology, an entire spectrum of science and technology they use to enhance the performance and fighting power of soldiers on the battlefield. But if you read the Bible, the Bible gives us an account of actual physical conflicts throughout history, but the Bible gives us accounts of spiritual conflicts throughout history. And notice that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, for thousands of years has been anointing soldiers and generals and his leaders with supernatural military fighting power, with supernatural wisdom and intelligence to win the battles, and supernaturally enhancing them to be super soldiers so they can take on and have victory over Goliaths and stuff like that. And then take that and add to it the fact that God has the highest level of cutting edge military technology, like the chariots of fire. So the servant of Joshua, the prophet, sees the I believe it's the Philistine army, no, the Syrian army coming down upon the children of Israel, getting ready to slaughter them. And Elijah the prophet shouts out to God in prayer, "Lord, open his eyes, his servant's eyes, so that he might see." And God supernaturally opens up the servant of Elijah's eyes, and he says, "Behold, the hills are filled with chariots of fire, and those that be with us are more than those that be with them." Now think about that. This guy is in total panic meltdown. He's freaking out. And then Elijah prays to God, and his eyes are supernaturally opened, and all of a sudden he sees something very real, but not something you can see with your physical eyesight. What he sees are the massive armies of God riding chariots of fire. So these armies must have had a glowing supernatural aura to them. And the chariots of fire, I'm sure they were called the chariots of fire because in some ways they look like earthly military chariots. But in other ways, they were so infused with the glory of God, the anointing of God, like that electrical charge of God was so intense in these chariots that God was sending into the battlefield, that when they saw these chariots, they simply called them chariots of fire, because they were like chariots, except they were ablaze with fire, reflecting their energy and supernatural aura and power. So since when did we get the idea that the God of the universe, who's real, he has one name, Jesus Christ, where did we get this idea as contemporary Christians all over the world, in the United States, especially in the light of all these cataclysmic and chaos events? Where did we ever get the idea that we could in any way, shape, or form battle these forces with just merely human intelligence and human wisdom? I mean, really, what foolishness. God has given us the promises of his word, and God has given us his supernatural power, his supernatural wisdom. So in all these spiritual battles and more, we are so thoroughly equipped that we can be victorious. But we are victorious to the degree that we fight the battle relying on God's supernatural power. And you see, from a Bible prophecy standpoint, this is critical. We're in the last days, so we know from a Bible prophecy standpoint that this is a time of incredible acceleration in warfare by the powers of darkness. But God didn't expect us to freak out, because God already prepared us for such a time as this. God knew that you and I would be living in the last days, and so therefore he's downloaded into us the supernatural power of God and the supernatural wisdom of God. The problem is, and this is the essence, this is ground zero in the spiritual warfare. The problem is that the church, the evangelical church, has been deceived into not acknowledging, not seeing the supernatural power of God that's available to them. And the church, for the most part, doesn't believe in the supernatural power of God, and it doesn't act upon the supernatural power of God or function in the anointing of the supernatural power of God. So, one of the major messages of my new book that you can pre-order now, Power from On High, is that in order to see the radical changes that we want to see for the better in our nation, America, and around the world, we must immediately, that means you and me, we must immediately repent, ask for God's forgiveness for relying on our own strength, power, knowledge, and wisdom. That has been our downfall, and we need to repent to the Lord of it. And we need to ask God to give us his supernatural wisdom and his supernatural power, and fight the battle on the basis of having received his supernatural wisdom and his supernatural power. The church was never called by God to be passive, cowardly, indifferent in the last days. And it's important not to get confused. I talk about this in the book, too, and give a lot of examples. Because in my own walk with the Lord, before I walked with the Lord, I was deeply involved in the New Age movement and the occult, altered states of consciousness, and all that stuff, okay, in a very serious way. So in my search for answers, and I write about a lot of this stuff in my book, Power from On High, which you can get now at a financial discount. Pre-order it at paulmcguire.us. Get it now. It'll change your life. And I talk about all the supernatural experiences that I experienced as somebody in the New Age movement, the occult, Eastern mysticism, etc., etc. So, for example, I experienced the Kundalini serpent power. I experienced cosmic consciousness. And I saw the great white light. And so I had so many other supernatural experiences and connected to supernatural power. Now, I'm not saying that for the purpose of boasting. This is not something that anybody should be involved in. I was involved in it because I was deceived. So, when God supernaturally saved me, when I was fleeing a Christian religious retreat, and I talk all about this in the book, Power from On High, when I was fleeing a Christian religious retreat about an hour outside of the University of Missouri, in the middle of the cornfields and dirt roads, in a kind of field of dreams experience. I was fleeing this Christian denominational religious retreat because it was so religious and dead, I couldn't take it. And I was looking for Jesus, at least on that particular day. So, after I'm miraculously saved, driving down the back roads of Missouri in the middle of nowhere, where miraculously I'm hitchhiking and I get two rides. The guy who invited me there told me God was going to take care of my rides home from the middle of nowhere. And when I stuck out my thumb in the middle of nowhere, my first ride was from a Pentecostal preacher and his wife who shared Jesus with me. They took me as far as they were going. And then the station wagon screeches to a stop, and it's a Bible salesman driving a Bible that's jam-packed with black and red leather King James Bibles. And he's wearing a dark three-piece suit like an undertaker. And he begins preaching to me hardcore in the car as he lets go of the steering wheel. In his enthusiasm, you know, because he's a religious fanatic. I'm glad I met him. He's a religious fanatic. No, he's a great man of God who saved souls, and I'm humbled to have been privileged to have him lead me to Jesus Christ. So I want to be a fanatic in that sense of leading people to Jesus Christ. I thank God for him. So he didn't beat around the bush. In the car, he's letting go of the steering wheel, reading from big, thick King James Bible. He's telling me I'm a sinner, I need to be born again. He asked me if we should pull off the side of the road, and he'll lead me in a prayer. And being from New York, paranoid, I said, oh, great. I'm in the car with a religious axe murderer pervert. He's going to chop my head off, bury me in bushes. So in any case, I say the sinner's prayer. I don't even believe in sin. You got to understand that. I was a committed atheist. I did not believe in sin. Do you realize how ridiculous this whole thing is? That I would accept Christ as my Lord and Savior and become born again? And the guy who's praying with me is saying, repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And then I'm asking Jesus to forgive me of my sins. But there's a conflict going on inside of me because in atheism, which I was raised, there's no such thing as sin. So here I am repenting of something which I technically don't believe in. Well, the rest of the stories in the book, I have the most revolutionary spiritual experience I've ever had in my life the following day. And at that moment, I know that Jesus Christ is God, that he's Lord, and all the other New Age, Eastern mystical, spirit guides, all that stuff is counterfeits and deception. So I have this radical experience with Jesus Christ. And the power of God that came upon me at the University of Missouri, as I was relating my story this girl who walked up in the middle of nowhere. It turns out she was a preacher's daughter. And she was sitting there by the quadrangle where we were, kind of like trying to figure out whether God and Jesus were really true. And she was a preacher's daughter. So I'm telling my testimony to these Christians who had been witnessing to me. And she asked me, of all the people, she asked me, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And I blurted out the words in response to her, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'd never said that before in my entire life. And it was as if the sky cracked open and I saw God. Not in a spiritual sense, excuse me, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. And at that moment, the power of God came upon me with such spiritual force. There was the dunamis, the detonation, the dynamite explosion of the Holy Spirit. And it was as if, spiritually, the sky cracked open and I could see God. Not in a physical sense, but a spiritual sense. And talk about the raw power of God. I had tried, just about everything else in the New Age, the occult, altered states of consciousness, psychedelic drugs, and I did it from a scientific pursuit, studying the works of Aldous Huxley and others. So, I was also studying it as a part of my major. I was a dual major, filmmaking, and then under the umbrella of the psychology department, they had a brand new field that I was majoring in called altered states of consciousness, which was the scientific study of all this New Age stuff. Now, here's the point, though. Back to just talking about pure, raw spiritual power. I had experienced cosmic consciousness. I saw the great white light. I'd had so many supernatural experiences when I was in the New Age and cult. Okay, when the power of God hit me, immediately after I tell this minister's daughter, I blurt out of my mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's like the entire universe splits open in a spiritual sense, and I can see God in a spiritual sense. And I know that I know that I know without any doubt at all that Jesus Christ is God, and everything else is like a cheap counterfeit. And the experience, just on an experiential, emotional level, is overwhelming. It is so powerful. I had never experienced this level of spiritual power before in my entire life. And I had never, ever experienced the ecstasy, the joy. This was higher, but it was all pure. This was higher than anything I'd ever experienced in my life. This was like being in pure bliss in the presence of God, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ reveals to me that he's the only way to God. And that changed my life forever. Now, what happened? Well, what happened was there was like a stronghold, a satanically energized argument embedded deep within me since childhood, because my parents raised me to be an atheist, a secular humanist. They raised me to scoff at Christianity, and they raised me not to believe in God. So that becomes a stronghold in a child's subconscious mind. It's like a wall. It's a barrier of unbelief that doesn't allow you to seriously consider Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, in order for God to save me, he has to obliterate that wall, that barrier between himself and me, or between you and God. And so that means I had a stronghold when you open yourself up to exploration and playing around in the things of the occult and New Age and meditation and TM and yoga and altered states of consciousness and microdosing psychedelic drugs and all the other things that open the door into the mystical, spiritual world. When you do that, demonic forces, demonic entities can at the very least oppress you externally and deceive you externally. So, that deception is what is over the eyes right now in America and in the nations of many of you listening to me, whatever nation you're listening from. You, just like us in America, the vast majority of people in your nation, the vast majority of people in America, there's a stronghold in front of their eyes. There's like a giant cement block in front of their eyes, and they can't see. They've been blinded to seeing the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to just try to focus in on Jesus Christ as closely as you can right now. So we have these hundreds of millions of people in the United States and around the world that they can't see Jesus Christ and the gospel because there's this wall, this stronghold between them and seeing Jesus Christ. Now, I want this may be strange for you, but this is how the Holy Spirit puts a burden on people. When I shared with you the words, there's millions of people in the United States and around the world who are blinded from seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ because there's a stronghold blocking them from seeing God. The minute I thought about that, I like automatically received a burden from the Holy Spirit, a kind of weight from the Holy Spirit, where I felt what I believe God feels about the fact that so many people are blinded and blocked from Jesus Christ. I felt this burden come on me instantly, and the burden also conveyed an emotion that came upon me instantly, which was a deep sorrow. So I all of a sudden have this deep sorrow in my heart in relationship to the wall between God and people. Now, I think God withheld from me the true depth of his sadness in mourning for the loss, because if I was to really experience the full mourning and full sadness by experiencing what people feel separated from God, I think it would demolish me. I could take it as a human being. I think I would collapse or die or something. I don't think we're built to take that kind of spiritual intensity. So I experienced the percentage of God's mourning and deep sadness born out of his love for every man, woman, and child alive. He wants them to be saved. So what is it that's going to save them? Well, that stronghold that's blinding them, that spirit of deception that's blinding them, that wall that's blinding people from seeing Jesus Christ and his gospel of salvation. God is telling us in his word that that wall can be detonated away like it was in my life. It literally was detonated away within 60 seconds. So your children, your grandchildren, people you know, people everywhere, they're not coming to the Lord because there's this blinder over them. So when God says he wants to clothe us with power from on high, which that means he wants to clothe us with the power of the Holy Spirit, power from on high. And that comes from the word dunamis or dynamite. I go into this promise of God in a more extensive way in my book, Power from On High. So this power from on high comes from the term dunamis, which means the dynamite power of God, the explosive, like dynamite power of God. So what does it take to remove a giant stronghold from somebody's mind? What does it take to remove a giant cement wall blockage from people's eyes that prevents them from seeing God? What it takes is you've got to have a counterstrike. You've got to have an opposing force that's more powerful than the demonic force that sent the stronghold to blind people. You have to, with spiritual warfare, use the power of God, because it's the only thing powerful enough to destroy the strongholds. And then you have to detonate, like dynamite, the power of God in that stronghold that is blinding that person that you care about from seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that is why it's critical that you and I as Christians pray to the Lord on a regular basis and ask him to clothe us with power from on high, because it's only that way we'll have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on a powerful enough level that will destroy those strongholds. And then people will be saved, like I was. Look, I didn't believe. I had a series of miracles happen to me after the guy who invited me to this horrible Christian religious retreat in the middle of nowhere. And I tell him I couldn't take it anymore, because it was, I don't remember what his words talking about. So I told him I was going to leave and go back to the campus. And so I walked to the dirt road in the middle of nowhere, like a Field of Dreams place, and stick out my thumb. He tells me the guy who invited me there, tells me God's going to take care of my rides home. Before I got an answer to my hitchhiking. So I stick out my thumb to hitchhike. First ride is a Pentecostal and preacher and his wife who share with me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they take me as far as they're going. And then, like I said, the next car that pulls up is a Bible salesman driving a station wagon jam-packed with Bibles. And he leads me in the sinner's prayer. The whole thing took maybe 3 minutes. He would say out loud, "Jesus Christ," and I'd repeat the words, "Jesus Christ, I come to you now, and I ask you right now, Jesus, to cleanse me with your blood, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and right now, Jesus, I invite you to come into my life and make me born again. Jesus, I thank you that you've saved me, cleansed me of my sins, and you've made me born again. In Jesus' name, amen." Reason I said the prayer that I just said hitchhiking when I got saved, in the event that somebody's listening to me now and you're not saved, if you simply pray a prayer like that, just repeat that one, God will save you. You will be born again. That's how simple it is. So we as the church have to be, in the last days, we have to be clothed with power from on high, so that dynamite power of God, that dynamite power of God, will detonate, explode the strongholds, the cement walls that are blocking people from seeing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's happening in America, Europe, and around the world. What's God's moving with his spirit upon the church, he's moving with his spirit upon people, and Satan and the fallen angels, they're moving their demonic armies on nations and people, and there's a spiritual war going on. Now, how we defeat our spiritual adversary is the same way when Elijah the prophet cried out that his servant's eyes could be opened. God's people, the children of Israel, weren't left there to be slaughtered. The chariots of fire, the armies of God, were supernaturally coming onto the battlefield. Talk about intense. And there are just so many other cases. We talked about David. He is supernaturally anointed to drop Goliath and destroy him. Look, there were outcomes to all these miraculous conflicts and battles in the Bible. It affected and shaped the destiny of God's people and other peoples. It shaped the destiny of history for thousands and thousands of years. That's how important it is for God's people to walk and be open to the power of God. The devil has deceived God's people into falsely believing that to walk in the power of God, to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to have the mind of Christ, the devil has falsely deceived God's people into believing that those are all like nut job experiences, wacko Christians, crazy Christians, you know. The devil has brainwashed Christians and non-Christians into thinking that you know, Christians are crazy people. That's a lie. That's Satan's propaganda. That's a lie. Christians are not crazy people. See, that's a spiritual attack of the devil, and the target is to hit the area in the place where especially younger people live, but all human beings have this desire to be esteemed by their peers, etc. So when the devil tries to shame people who are Christians into telling them, you know, if you become a Christian, people are going to think you're crazy. Well, the fact of the matter is that it's a truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a truth that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. It's a truth there's a heaven and a hell after this world. Those are all true things. So, if everyone listening to the Paul McGuire Report right now, and everyone listening that had the same passion and burden, made the inner decision to ask God to fill you with the power of His Holy Spirit and endeavor to, by faith, to act supernaturally and think supernaturally, you would find that your life would radically change. It would be dramatically changed. Because all of a sudden, your ordinary life would become super extraordinary as you are infused with the power of God. And it's the intention of God, by the way, that the normal Christian life, this word normal is being abused to death, but the normal Christian life should be one of walking in a supernatural relationship with Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that means to think supernaturally and to act supernaturally. The way you plug get the power is you got to plug the electrical plug into the socket, and then it accesses the power. Well, you use your faith and you pray to God and you worship God, and that accesses the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And as a Christian, there are many Christians in America and around the world that have been deceived by Satan into thinking that, well, the only people that have access to spiritual power are like people into witchcraft and Wicca and Satanism and the occult and the New Age. And, you know, all of those things offer supernatural power and supernatural miracles. But the truth of the matter is that God has made it available to His people. If we will access it by faith, God has given us the exceeding precious promises from His Word, which include the power of God, answering prayer, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, this incredible supernatural realm of gifts and spiritual weapons we have at our disposal. Now, the minute we stop fighting the battle on the terms of being deceived, and the minute we start fighting the battle using weapons which are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, we see the ultimate game changer operation. The tide of the battle is turned 180 degrees. And then you begin to see physical evidence. You'll begin to see physical evidence of the transformation. You'll begin to see physical evidence in your own nation and other nations. You'll begin to see, and you'll know it because God will impress it upon your heart. You'll begin to see, begin to notice and begin to observe an entire spectrum of apparently miracles from God, miraculous events, good events, good things, the restraining of evil. I mean, you'll begin to see a pattern that didn't exist there before. And that's as a result that you're releasing the supernatural power of God into the earth, into your life and the life of loved ones. And it's important to know that you and me, but you have been given the supernatural power of God to change the outcome, to release his authority and miraculous power into the earth and to be victorious in the spiritual battle. And when you receive that by faith, you become a person who changes history. Think about that. So, if every person who called themselves a Christian, or even a significant minority, or a small percentage of all those Christians, if even a small percentage of all those true Christians locked hold of God with faith and began praying to him to send his power into their lives so that people's souls might be saved and our nation or whatever nation you're in is transformed. The bottom line of all the conflicts that we're involved in, the bottom line is that the fight we're in is not against physical people. The Apostle Paul said, "For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the unseen forces of darkness in hidden places." That's beyond the cement block, okay? Beyond the stronghold. The battle is being waged by creatures in the spiritual world and the invisible realm. And as I said with the title of my book, it's the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. So, when we begin to turn our hearts to the Lord, when we begin to ask God for his forgiveness for being spiritually dead, thus the term great awakening. You can only have a great awakening because you're repenting and asking God of forgiveness for being asleep spiritually. You're asking for forgiveness. God honors that. He cleanses you of the sin of being asleep spiritually. Then he pours out his Holy Spirit upon you or anybody who comes to him. And you're awakened in the power of the Holy Spirit and in accordance with his word. You don't just go running off the deep end. Your awakening is consistent with what God's word is saying. And then as a byproduct, you will begin to notice it doesn't have to be some wild and crazy thing, you know. You can be very calm, very sane, very rational, very logical. But as you're quietly allowing God to move with his supernatural power in your life, you will begin to see exponentially prayers being answered in a faster way and more noticeable way than ever before. You'll begin to see evidence of miracles over things you've prayed for or over things you know somebody else has prayed for. you'll be turning on television, watching the news, or looking at something visually, and you're going to see a pattern in the increase of God's supernatural power moving in the earth. You know, we're not supposed to mystify that. We're not supposed to make that so complicated. It's a very simple thing. If we will do what God asks us to do, He'll infuse us and flood us through with His supernatural power, and people will be saved. Bondages will be broken off people's lives, and God's power will enter the earth. You know, to say we can pray so that God's power can enter the earth should not be some strange thing in our vocabulary or theology. There's something really wrong with our character or our theology or our belief system if talking about God answering prayers in miraculous ways, if that sounds strange to you and different, then that's because you were living a life, whether you knew it or not, in which you alienated yourself from the presence of God. Because if you're in a normal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to begin to think supernaturally and act supernaturally. So when thousands of Christians begin to do that, the power of God's Holy Spirit is poured out on specific geographic locations. An authentic and biblical revival breaks out. And the power of the Holy Spirit fills hearts and rooms or virtual reality communications. The power of the Holy Spirit moves on God's people. But the whole time, God has been waiting on His people to turn to Him. So in the book of Acts, listen to what it says. It's just amazing. In the book of Acts, we hear these words. Book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so they're together. God fills them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we read further down in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Now, Peter, he's got to do like a manage people social crisis, because the people that are watching the disciples being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit think that they're drunk, okay? So you can't get so legalistic that your requirement for God to move is absolutely manufactured perfectionism. You can't do that. Not that God wants to have a crazy town. No, He doesn't. But you can't be God. Okay, so Peter's trying to tell the crowd that what they're seeing that's freaking them out was prophesied by in the Bible. So he says this to the people, verse 15, "For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's the prophecy from Joel that in the last days. Now remember, that when Joel first made that prophecy, that was a long time ago. That's going into the Old Testament. And when the prophecy is repeated by Peter on the day of Acts, that's around 2,000 years ago or more. So this power of God is still available to God's people if they will pray in the manner that God requires that you pray. And God instructs you in the book of Acts and other passages of Scripture on just how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's pay attention to what God's Word says. If we really believe this is the Word of God, then we need to believe it. So Peter is prophesying and saying, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Well, we're in the last days. Last days has been going on for a while. But we're still in the last days. That I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we should think of it as normal, according to the Word of God, to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the last days is to anoint God's people so that they can operate in the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the power and the wisdom and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Gives you the, it's impossible to live the Christian life in your own human strength. You can only do it by putting your faith in the power of God. So if God's people in America would repent of trying to be God, because when you try to supply the energy and the power as if you were God and fail, well, it's because you're trying to be something you're not. You're trying to be God. You need to put your faith in the power of God. And as you do that, it's very simple. You never want to overcomplicate it because it's so simple. As you do that, because you and I are in the last days, you will begin to observe God pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. And you'll begin to see people in your household or grandkids or people of different generations that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And the whole point is they weren't previously prophesying. That was like so beyond any conception that you may have had. And also, I'm not talking about false prophesying. I'm not talking about making stuff up and beyond the Word of God. Because we're warned. This promise from God has to be believed in simultaneously with using a spirit of discernment regarding prophecy. So, the Pilgrims and Puritans were open to this truth. They were open to God's truth from generation, from Genesis to Revelation. And they were open spiritually to this truth. They operated and relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. But unlike modern Christians, they were also open to it in the area of knowledge, their intellect, the knowledge of history, mind of Christ. So the critical thing to understand here is that the Pilgrims and Puritans were seeking God, and they wanted to walk in what I'm reading to you in Acts chapter 2. But why God was able to release that power in the Pilgrims and Puritans, which enabled the blessings of America to be born, God's power was released because the Pilgrims and Puritans were walking in faith regarding the power of God, and the Pilgrims and Puritans were obedient in terms of receiving and studying and acquiring God's knowledge and God's wisdom. It's those two factors that have to come into place at once. And that's what we're trying to do with Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church, is to teach God's people all around the world and in the United States how to operate biblically so that God's power, not counterfeit revival, please, no, but a revival based on the Word of God that results in a massive harvest of souls in the last days. I need your help in bringing in this last day's soul harvest. So I ask you and I thank you for being an intercessor, prayer warrior for me and my family in this ministry. Thank you for praying for us and opening the windows of heaven so God's Spirit can strengthen us. Thank you for that. And thank you for spreading our messages far and wide as God directs you. And thank you to each one of you who, when the Spirit of the Lord talked to you about giving financially or making a donation or a contribution to Paul McGuire Ministries or Paradise Mountain Church, you obeyed God. And that enables us to continue, because every day we continue, it's always a battle, you realize. I don't complain about it. I don't talk about it very often. You have battles too, and God wants us to win these battles, and in many cases give us the power to endure until we win. So visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Our books are available at bulk book discounts. You can pre-order Power from On High, and also spread our media far and wide. It's very tragic that I should even have to ask that. But the more light of God that we spread, the more true love of the Lord, the agape love of Jesus Christ, and the more we are faithful to talk to people about receiving Christ. And we don't worry about the results. The results are up to God. We just obey him. And you don't obey him out of guilt. You don't obey him out of somebody pressuring you. You obey him because God tells you to do it. It's not about beating yourself up and you know, it's not what it's about. You walk in God, okay? You'll have the power. You'll want to talk about God. And you need to exercise wisdom. We live in a world where there could be the very high level of negative repercussion, negative blowback, if we openly lead people to Jesus Christ. We live in a very hostile environment towards the Bible and Jesus Christ. So I'm not exhorting you or telling you to be foolish. No, you need to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You need to exercise incredible wisdom. That's what God wants for his people. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to accomplish what God's calling you to do. Got to have that wisdom. The way you get wisdom is you You build it in yourself through reading, through studying, through prayer, self-education, thinking, reading the Word, you know, all of those things, reading books that explain the Word, all of those things build a supernatural reservoir of God's power in your life. So whatever you're facing, I know that it can be like a war, spiritual battle. Whatever you're facing, remember that you call upon God, God will answer your prayers. He will supernaturally strengthen you. He will anoint you. You call out to God now. Just talk to him like you talk to a friend, but in a reverential manner. Ask God for what you need. And then keep asking until God provides it. And you will be amazed that God will provide for you miraculously. Not if you're just sitting in your chair daydreaming. It may mean you're going to have to put some effort into it. Called work. But God knows every situation. And God will supply all of your needs or need in Christ Jesus. Key is you open yourself up and you ask the Lord. If believers in Christ, if the body of Christ in America and the other nations around the world would simply, right now at this second, ask God to send his power into their nation, ask God for his forgiveness for the way we have behaved in these nations, and ask God to intervene and rule our nations. If you intercede, to the degree you intercede, to the degree numerically, how many intercessors there are, how often you intercede, things like the purity of your heart, that's all in synchronization, the way God planned it. God will move. When God's people pray, God will move with incredible power. If you look at the obstacles and the challenges that we face right now, let's remember something. This doesn't intimidate God even in the slightest. God is bigger than all of those problems. We have to pray and act like it, and he'll supernaturally show up with the wisdom, the knowledge, the guidance, whatever is necessary. God will show up with that in your life. The world is waiting to see whether or not the Christians that we believe in what we say we believe in, the world's looking at us. Do they really believe what they claim to believe? They're skeptical. If we will begin to believe what we say we believe, the power of God will be released. It starts with the power of God being released in your life. And that is awesome. The power of God will be released in your life in subtle ways, dramatic ways, in short-term ways, in long-term ways. The power of God will be released in your life and through you by simply beginning to pray. It will automatically happen. And I'm asking you and thanking you for joining with us in sowing the seed that enables this to happen. You know, the conflicts we're facing in our nation or whatever nation we live in is the conflicts that we're facing are primarily conflicts that exist due to the apathy, due to the non-involvement of Christians. The Christians simply showed up at the plate. When these problems first arose, we wouldn't be in the level and intensity of battle we're in. But God knew that was going to happen. And so God has given us a plan, wisdom, guidance. He hasn't chucked us into, you know, some garbage dump somewhere. God is gripping our hand. And you don't have to be frightened if you think you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death and darkness. Do not have to be frightened. God, you're holding the hand of God, the one who created the universe, the galaxies, every human being, the tides, the gravitational pull. This is Paul McGuire. Thank you for listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Spread this program far and wide. And remember, the power of God, the salvation of God, only moves in the world to the degree that somebody's willing to communicate it and to the degree that somebody's willing to pray that it happens. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.